Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the main evening news at 5 o'clock. In this bulletin, Defective Bloc Ireland says it's time to take legal action, irrespective of if your building is located in Donegal or north of the border. Just over half of applications to the Defective Concrete Blocks grant scheme have been approved. A Donegal teacher believes teaching is being compromised due to the lack of substitute teachers. And property prices in the border region have seen the largest increase outside of Dublin. These stories to follow plus in full plus more, and Oisin Kelly will be live with the latest in sport at 5:15. We'll also have Anne Nooked with Colm Ferriter. First in news, Joe Biden kicked off his visit to County Mayo today with a trip to Knock Shrine. The US President will be in Ballina later, where he is to make a public address on the banks of the River Moy. Barry White has more.
The flags and bunting are out, the musicians are out singing on the streets, and crowds are gathering. Ballina is ready to welcome US President Joe Biden to his ancestral home this evening.
This is wonderful for Ballina, sure, good Lord. You know, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. This is massive for the town. Well, when President Biden, he was vice president then 7 years ago, like, it was huge. But nothing like this. This is unbelievable now.
Oh, it's huge. There'll be, I don't know, many thousand people are going to be here this evening. But it's putting Ballina on the map and the northwest of Ireland on the map. It's just great publicity for the town.
20,000 people are expected here this evening, and local artist Leslie Lackey is hopeful that a mural he painted of President Joe Biden will catch his eye.
We were the two to paint the mural here in the town, yeah. Took roughly, I say, 3 days and three nights, so it was all hands on deck, you know. So it was great. Oh, it's a great atmosphere, and we were very proud of it, you know. As he has, you know, his roots here in the town. So we just wanted to give something back, you know.
And would you be hoping President Biden will get a picture in front of your mural tonight?
Cross our fingers, that's what we're hoping, you know.
The US President is expected to arrive in the County Mayo town at around 9 o'clock tonight. He will address the crowds at the local cathedral before going on a walkabout in the town centre. Barry White, County Mayo.
Now is the time to take legal action if you have a premises affected by defective blocks in Donegal or north of the border. That is the message being shared by Defective Blocks Ireland. The company co-director Sean Hegarty says irrespective of what type of building is affected, to get in touch with Coleman Legal. He added that there is a cap of approximately 2,000 people to join the legal action.
We realise that it's a much bigger scale than what we originally anticipated. The scheme is now open for everyone that is affected by defective blocks. That also goes for anyone that is living across the border in Northern Ireland that have a home that's showing signs of deleterious materials. They're welcome to get in touch with Coleman Legal also. Not just limited to homes. As in Donegal, we look into commercial properties, farmers, any building affected. In Northern Ireland, we'll also do the same. It's the only chance that you have if you want to have some, people are calling it redress, calling it compensation, but if you want to have a go at getting the funding to replace your development, well then, get in touch with Coleman Legal. This is not just a big deep well. It's limited to 2,000 people or approximately 2,000 people, and after that, I'm afraid we won't be taking anyone else on. So really now is the time to get in touch with us. And that goes for everyone affected by deleterious materials, north and south of the border, irrespective of what your building is. If you've used concrete and it's affected, get in touch.
Meanwhile, just over half of applications to the Defective Concrete Blocks grant scheme have been approved. 1,219 Stage 1 applications have been received by Donegal County Council to date, with 623 of them approved. Over €5.6 million has been paid out to Stage 1 applicants so far. Donal Kavanagh has more.
51% of the 1,219 Stage 1 applications received under the Defective Concrete Blocks grant scheme have been approved. Fees amounting to almost €5.7 million have been issued under the first stage of the scheme. 595 Stage 1 applications either require further information or are awaiting assessment. Meanwhile, 140 Stage 2 applications have been received by Donegal County Council, 90 of which have been approved to the value of €16.4 million. 47 Stage 2 applications are awaiting further information, while three have been withdrawn. €1,532 has been paid out to one affected homeowner for essential immediate repairs, while 20 homeowners have received a share of €395,250 for advanced accommodation and storage costs. €6.1 million in payments have been issued to 220 homeowners under Stage 3, where remediation is in process or has been completed. The remediation of 33 properties has been completed under the Defective Concrete Blocks grant scheme so far.
The Children's Ombudsman says the levels of investment in child's mental health services is an insult to children. Dr. Niall Muldoon was speaking at the Psychiatric Nurses Association annual delegate conference in Carlow. Sean O'Regan has more.
Children's Ombudsman Dr. Niall Muldoon told the conference expenditure on mental health services as a percentage of total health expenditure has been in decline for 40 years and now stands at just 5.2% of total spending on health. He continued, the budget allocated to the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, or CAMHS, is just 10% of the mental health services budget, or just 0.63% of the overall health budget. Dr. Muldoon described the investment in mental health services for children as both an insult to children and unacceptably low. PNA General Secretary Peter Hughes said the assessment from the Children's Ombudsman confirmed the PNA's long-standing concerns about underinvestment in CAM services nationally. He finished, it also highlights a CAM service that's failing children, young people, families, communities and its staff.
A Donegal teacher believes teaching is being compromised due to a lack of substitute teachers. Emma McGrath says teachers are being redeployed within schools as substitute teachers are not available. The recruitment and retention crisis in the sector has dominated teacher union conferences across the country this week. Emma told today's 9 till noon show that teacher pay needs to be looked at, otherwise the crisis is going to continue.
It's evident in every school across the country, across the county, in my own school as well. I'm a primary school teacher. The people are just not there. The jobs are there. Now, having said that, that is one of the issues. We do need to look at more permanent contracts. We need to look at more full-time hours, especially for secondary school teachers, in order to give them that solid income that they know that they have for the year and not just the part-time hours. In my own sector in primary school, there are various days where subs cannot be found and teachers need to be redeployed because classrooms need to be taught, children in classrooms need to be taught, and then therefore you're compromising and the teaching in other areas in the school because substitute teachers are not available, they just are not on the ground and can't be sourced. So it's definitely, there needs to be initiatives implemented and implemented quickly in order to help resolve it. It's not going to be, I guess, that they have increased the intake of trainee teachers to the undergrad programs. But I mean, that takes 4 years now. That's not going to be no quick fix. We definitely have a resource and a pool of teachers in different parts around the world that can be, I think, need to be attracted, need to be tried to encourage them to come back. But I mean, what are we encouraging them, or how are we going to encourage them to come back? And I think it really does come back to pay. It comes back to a quality of pay as well. And that is something that's been a bugbear for a long time.
Residential property prices rose by 5% in the year to February. The border region, which encompasses Donegal, Cavan, Sligo, Leitrim and Monaghan, saw the largest increase in property prices outside Dublin at 9%. Eamon Horsney reports.
The National Residential Property Price Index published by the CSO shows residential property prices increased by 5% in the 12 months to February. That's down from 6.1% in the year to January. In Dublin City and County, house prices increased by 3% and apartment prices were up 4%. However, in Dublin City, there was a fall in house prices by 0.5%. Outside the capital, house prices went up by 6.6% and apartment prices rose by 3.3%. The border region saw the largest increase in house prices at 9%, while the Midwest region saw a 4.9% increase. The most expensive air code area over the 12 months to February this year was A94 Blackrock, while F35 Ballyhaunas and F45 Castlereagh shared the least expensive price.
New signage has been unveiled at Donegal Airport, showcasing the county's tourist attractions. With thousands of people passing through the airport, the initiative aims to inspire visitors to stay longer and discover what Donegal has to offer. Joan Crawford, manager of the Wild Atlantic Way programme with Fáilte Ireland, says Donegal Airport is the perfect gateway to the Wild Atlantic Way.
Fáilte Ireland, say Donegal, like, is a key access point to the Wild Atlantic Way, and we've come on board with new branding at the airport. The new branding for us is all about showcasing the beauty that's on our doorstep and, you know, the really wide range of activities that are available throughout the county. We see thousands of international and domestic visitors are going to pass through the airport now over the next number of years. It's all about slowing the visitor down and giving them more to see and do in the area.
And you do see this kind of signage at other larger airports, so it's great to see that Donegal Airport has been given the chance. And you know yourself, walking through the airport, something will pique your interest.
It will indeed, and we see Donegal as being that key access point for us for the northern half of the Wild Atlantic Way. So the connectivity that we have with Glasgow and with the international flights that come into Dublin and take that flight down to Carrickfinn Airport. And we must remember, Donegal Airport is one of the most scenic airports in the world. So definitely it's a great opportunity to showcase it.
Sales of electric cars have surpassed diesel vehicles for the first time ever. Figures from the Society of Irish Motor Industry show a quarter of all new cars being sold in Ireland during the first 3 months of the year are either fully or plug-in hybrid electric. Caoimhse Conley reports.
Electric car sales are now surpassing diesel for the first time. The number of fully electric cars sold during the first 3 months of the year increased by 40%, while petrol plug-in hybrids were up by almost 16%. Head of Communications with the AA Ireland, Paddy Cumman, says such a change in car buying habits would have been unimaginable just a few years ago.
The combined figures for electric and plug-in hybrid vehicles now show that they are outselling diesel, which was a situation we would have never imagined just maybe 5 or 6 years ago. So there's definitely a change in the buying habits of new car buyers, but there are generous incentives for people to buy these, and there also are savings possibly to be made by people as they see the rising cost of petrol and diesel.
Society of the Irish Motor Industry figures show sales of diesel cars dropped by 4% compared with the start of last year, while new diesel hybrids were down 55%.
The time is 12 minutes past five. We're going to go to a short break and we'll be back with the latest in sport. The time is 5:15. We're going over to Oisin Kelly for the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. We start with football, and Fáilte Harps are in action this evening in the first division of the SSE or Trusty League. They're at home to Treaty United as they seek out a second win of the season. They go into the game off the back of a 1-1 draw with Kerry last weekend. As for the visitors, they notched up their first victory of the season, beating Longford Town. Here's former Fáilte Harps player and manager Anthony Gorman on what Harps have to do to start picking up wins.
The way that Fáilte Harps are looking to play, you know, Dave talks constantly about playing front foot football and getting away from the style of football that the club had in the past. But I think, you know, and I was fortunate enough as a player that I played in an awful lot of good football teams, but before you go and play and you want to play attractive football, there's battles to be won all over the park, Oisin. And the first division is an example of a league where before you even think about playing, there's a battle to be won. You've got to go and fight and compete. And when you get on top of your opponent, then you can then go and play football that you want to play. But that, with a young and experienced team, it's difficult at times to get that point across, and that's where you need the likes of Keith Cowan, who's hopefully going to be back from injury this weekend, and Ryan Rainey, Noah Baba, the more experienced players of the team, you know, to galvanise the team and get them together and say, right, before we play, we're going to have to fight and scrap and get on top of the game before we start playing our football. And I think maybe at times that if we've been critical of Fáilte Harps, maybe that could be that they haven't maybe shown the league or the opponents the deserve that the respect that deserves, maybe by not going out and winning the battles first.
That's Anthony Gorman speaking ahead of Harps action tonight with Treaty United. Updates here in Highland as from the 8:00 kickoff with Dermot Doherty. In the other game in the first division, Waterford home to Kerry. Leaders Galway United meet second place Bray Wanderers, and Athlone take on Cove Ramblers, Longford meet Wexford tomorrow. No game tonight for Derry City in the Premier Division. They are at Dundalk on Sunday. But defending champion Shamrock Rovers can close the gap on the league leaders Bohemians. A win or a draw with Shells would see Rovers leapfrog Derry into second. Bows have a 6-point lead at the top. They host St Pat's tonight at Dalymount. And the other game in the Belfield, UCD are facing Cork City. In the Irish League Premiership, Larne could be crowned champions this evening. They're away from home against Crusaders, and if they avoid defeat this evening, Larne will be champions for the first time in the club's history. In the Ulster Senior League, Coghill Celtic are chasing down a 10th league title. To do that, they have to win all their games in hand. They currently have 4 on the leaders Bunnygee United, and the first of those is against Letterkenny Rovers this evening away from home. Kickoff is at 7:45. One game tonight as well in the Donegal Junior League. Gweedore Celtic are up against second place Fintown Harps, and that one starts at 7:30. On the Gaelic Games front, Derry and Tyrone are in Ulster Championship action this weekend. Tomorrow, Saturday, Derry are at Brewster Park taking on Fermanagh. And then on Sunday, Tyrone hosts Monaghan. Derry are, of course, the defending provincial champions in Ulster. So can the Oakleaf County go further than what they did last year? Martin McHugh says it's a boost that Conor Glass, Chrissy McKeag and Kieran McFaul will be available for this weekend and the campaign.
Progress this year will be to basically get to the All-Ireland final. One in Ulster will be a bonus from the point of view of they're saying to themselves, if we can win Ulster here, we avoid, you know, the Dublin, the Kerrys, and probably they're saying maybe Galway and Connacht, that you avoid three, that's three of the top 4 or 5 teams in the country. So you avoid them, so, you know, you're going to a different group with them. And, you know, that's probably the big thing about winning your province. It's not really all, you know, all about winning the province. And everybody says, well, it's great to win a provincial championship. And I think for the teams that are looking further down the road, I think getting seeded number one can probably end up being the most important thing. So from Derry's point of view, they'd be disappointed with the performance in the league final. Now, they scored as much as Dublin did in 10 scores, but they conceded the 4 goals. And they'll be disappointed because they normally don't concede goals. But suppose when Conor Glass went off in the middle of the field and Chrissy McCaig didn't play to pick up Conor Callan, who caused them a lot of trouble, that's what happened. But I'm hearing that both of them are fit for Saturday night and will be playing, which is a big plus for Derry because they have a small squad. And the other thing is Kieran McFaul is going really well in training. He's back home from America. And he's maybe the plus that they do need this year. But they'll do, you know, they're going to need more up front, particularly if they're going to win the All-Ireland. They're definitely going to need more players up front. They have Lachlan Murray, who's a year older now from the under-20s, Oisín, as well. And that he'll be a big help to them as well. But I think Kieran McFaul, I think he'll get some game time even on Saturday night because they'll feel they'll want to get him in there to get him ready for, they probably feel it'll be maybe Tyrone that they'll be meeting in the Ulster semi-final, and that'll end up being a very, very big game because of the seeding for the championship down the road.
That's Martin McHugh with his thoughts on Derry's Ulster championship campaign and a possible All-Ireland tilt as well. There's more from Martin available on the sports section of our website. He was part of the Score programme last night. In horse racing, it was another good day for the Irish on day 2 at the Entry Festival. Dennis Kerwin has the details.
The Gordon Elliott trained Jerry Calom gained compensation for his Cheltenham defeat, winning the opener, the 3-mile novice chase. The 6-4 on favourite, a comfortable 7 lengths winner under Davy Russell. John McConnell followed up his Cheltenham success when 8-1 shot Fenner Cross landed the 2.5-mile handicap hurdle by a couple of lengths under talented young rider Ben Harvey. Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore got on the score sheet with 3-1 favourite in the pocket, winning the Grade 1 novices hurdle. And the home team finally got off the mark when 4-1 shot Pick Dory landed the Grade 1 marsh chase for Paul Nichols and Harry Cobden. Fakir Duderies had to settle for second. And there was another win for the home team. 20-1 outsider Bill Baxter won the Topham Chase over the Grand National Fences for Warren Greatrex and Sam Twiston Davies. With Paddy Power News for all your Aintree Grand National Festival tips, I'm Dennis Kerwin.
In rugby, Ulster have the chance to move up to second place in the United Championship tonight. Dan McFarlane's side take on the Dragons in Belfast at 7:35. While in golf, Justin Rose has moved to the top of the leaderboard on day 2 of the RBC Heritage. The Englishman is 9 under par and is alongside Jimmy Walker at the summit. Shane Lowry tees off from 1 under par shortly. He gets up and running for round 2 just before 6 o'clock. Chine in sport, Bay Major Ashery, Samara, Iga Dog Club. Donna Marie.
Gormaid gur ashin agus anish and note the column ferreter.
Kijay murda tash of column ferreter and shot in the brief skill team. Ta eilf janta ag arlori gaelige sin féin ingus o snoddy ar an realtas, commissioner changa nua a capu gan will, a ra goro se harave tobiste nachwil an post fogar ha go foil. Hanag se consolus an chartan choi hart go will shans on nach me commissioner changa ur capihe, guji jeru an tauri ar a laid, jiri an ear commissioner Ronan O'Donnell as a churami a mi fiaura. Tahereg Sul Gukorhi a Tuslesh and Frosis, Commissioner Ura at Arku Kujeru at Rivjeru in the Misa, Visha Bartihe, Gome and Paz to Fogarha and me Anner. Tafela Ur, Charko Lechakeren, and Fakal Bio, and in Yanher Kelleru Erin Geliga, Marchanga Howard, and Naskin go Smert, Le Coulter, August Fain, Onanus, Nanini. Ta Emmerti go Lior Bartihe, Don Ela, Ejerlana Vagus Lea. Comortish, a cardlana, agus okaji coltera, harter lecher canon, to Charlotte Toshert, or a cuigola de mi valtanya, gus the gaholus, egg linra, LC, bunk IE. Ta foluntus offiga plana la changa fogarha egin linra comoi, to denya alaragaku la nasca kahu lechen fobul, marin labarta and plan changa akarcon kin, to gaholus, egg linra LC. Tajai mila coip den lord nua scrifa bawailom ukranish a lorch sholta guji skullana agus agriocti harter and cheer the coipan den lord geliga agus na lord ukranish a scapu eg cog frij minu u old skull na galjeva na skulta ha geliga tan lord scrifa eg Lindsay Myers agus mwashihe eg blatnin brachtnach. Cor Kellyr Har eggs allu fihe fiusa tri ingi door ag Jeremy Misicha, it says seal agus seher Francis O'Mwini tame in the hegs am Liana, agus incur sega a fobble atul, less na halinya tradition ta, agus igursi sports agus edjehish. Shin mochodja illig gulier slan agus banacht.
And now to weather. A mix of sunny spells and scattered showers this evening, some of which will be heavy with a chance of hail. Early tonight, showers will die away and it will become dry with long clear spells. Chilly with lowest temperatures of -1 to +3 degrees in light westerly or variable breezes with mist and fog patches developing. To conclude this main lunch evening news, Defective Block Ireland says it's time to take legal action irrespective if your building is located in Donegal or north of the border. Just over half of applicants to the defective concrete block scheme have been approved. A Donegal teacher believes teaching is being compromised due to the lack of substitute teachers, and property prices in the border region has seen the largest increase outside of Dublin. That's all for now. We'll be back again with the news headlines at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices this Friday evening, April 14th. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Mary Gallagher, ní Diver, Carrickatasken, Derrybeg. Her remains will repose at her sister Annie Rorty's residence in Carrickatasken tomorrow from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and on Sunday from 12 noon to 8 p.m. Rosary is nightly at 8 o'clock. Funeral Mass in St. Mary's Church, Derrybeg, on Monday morning at 11 a.m, with interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has occurred of John McRorty, Chower, and formerly of the Black Road. Reposing at Shovlin's Funeral Home, Sandfield, Ardrah, this evening from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m, followed by a private removal to his home. Reposing at his home tomorrow and Sunday from 12 noon until 9 o'clock. Removal on Monday morning for 11 o'clock funeral mass in the Church of the Blessed Virgin Mary Frosses, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu to the Kidney Association of Ireland, care of any family member or John McGowan, funeral director. John's funeral mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv. The death has taken place of Vincent Ward, Ramsbury Road, Leicester,
formerly of Kilrain. Glenty's funeral mass will take place on Monday at 10 a.m. in St Thomas More Church, Leicester, with burial at Saffron Hill. The mass will be streamed on the parish YouTube channel. The death has taken place of Eddie McGarvey, New Mills, Remelton. Remains reposing at his home this evening. Funeral mass on Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. in St Mary's Church, Remelton. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Philomena McCallion, Francistown, Mallon. Her remains are reposing at the home of her son Patrick and daughter-in-law Magella at Drumcarbet, Mallon. Philomena's remains will repose at her home in Francistown from 9 a.m. on Sunday morning before removal to Lag. Funeral mass will take place on Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. in St Mary's Church, Lag, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Alzheimer's Society Ireland, care of any family member. Funeral mass can be viewed on the Mallon Head Facebook page. The death has taken place of Anne Nan McCarran, Nee McMenamin, Mallon Road, Moville, and formerly Glenty's and Letterkenny. Anne's remains are reposing at her home, where you are welcome to pay your respects until 10 p.m. this evening and from 2 p.m. until 10 p.m. tomorrow. House is private to family only on the morning of the funeral. Funeral mass will take place on Sunday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. in St. Pius X Church, Moville, followed by burial in Ballybrack Cemetery. Funeral mass can be viewed live on movilleparish.com. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Northwest Hospice Sligo, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Gloria White, Nee Freel, Drum Boy Lifford, and formerly of Eden Moore Lifford, reposing at her home. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 10:35 a.m. for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlough, Lifford, at 11 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. tonight. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Robert Robbie Moore, 26 The Orchard, Strabane, reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 9:25 a.m. for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount, at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. tonight. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Kathleen Pugh, Nee Patton, Perth, Australia, and formerly of Dewish, Ballybuffet. Funeral will take place in Perth. A memorial service of thanksgiving will take place tomorrow afternoon in Stranorlar Parish Church at 2:30 p.m. The death has taken place of Deborah Brown, The Mall, Remelton. Funeral service in St Paul's Church, Remelton, tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. Burial afterwards in Banks Cemetery, Remelton. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Alice Berger Hammerschlag Award at the Arts Council of Northern Ireland or the Professor Anne Cruikshank Travel Bursary at the Department of History of Art at Trinity College Dublin. The death has taken place of Seamus Tinney, Grahamsland Castle Finn. Seamus's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. going to St Mary's Church Castle Finn for Mass at 12 noon. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Jerry Doherty, Onkey, Middletown, Mallon Head. Remains reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. to the Star of the Sea Church, Mallon Head, for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. Interment afterwards in Lag Cemetery, Mallon. House private from 11 p.m. tonight. The death has taken place of Tony McHugh, Stranmartin Derry Beg, originally of Bryn Lech Widore. His remains are reposing at his home today until 8 p.m. Rosary is at 8 o'clock tonight. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director's Facebook page. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.